Let's pray, please. Everybody, children, young people, adults, everybody praying that this may be a different service to our hearts and lives. That the Lord will come down and bless us through His word. O Lord, You are only sovereign. There is no other God but You. You created the heavens, the seas, and the land, and everything there is in it. You created us, and not ourselves. You made us, and it is because of Your mercy and Your faithfulness that we are alive this day, that we breathe, that we exist. In Your goodness, we are in Your house this evening. In Your goodness, we have Bibles to read. O Lord, we pray that You will send Your message to our hearts, that the Holy Spirit, with all liberty, may come upon us and change us. O Lord, feed Your people. Bless Your people. If I speak, let me speak the word of God. If I minister, let me minister according to the power which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Before the preaching of the word this evening, I would like to express my gratitude to Dr. Kearns and to the congregation for having us here. About 3 weeks ago, I told my wife, I'm not going. And she told me, you are going, unless you are in the hospital. It is a good thing that I obeyed my wife. And she told me, you will be encouraged. I have been encouraged. It's very encouraging to see the people that helped us and pray for us. It's so good to see good old friends and teachers, the faculty, and the children of my friends. I think if you invite me again, I'll come. The only condition is that Dr. Berry doesn't leave the service. And those that were here this morning know why. Now, our meditation this afternoon is based on the 11th verse of Psalm 25. Psalm 25, 25th Psalm, and verse 11. Please read the verses when I ask you, lest I mispronounce a word and you don't understand. But if you see it with your own eyes, it will be better. Psalm 25 and verse 11. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. This is a very special psalm. It's the first of seven psalms called the alphabetical psalms, because every verse starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You can see there's 22 verses in this psalm, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Of those seven, probably the most famous is Psalm 119. But the only parts in the Bible that are arranged in this manner. Lamentations. You read the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and it's also arranged in this manner, except one chapter that repeats three times those 22 verses. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to write like this, not only to use this style of Hebrew poetry, but also to help the readers to memorize them. Now, the verse that we're going to study, this 11th verse of this psalm, is certainly a verse worth memorizing. This afternoon, we're going to consider three plain lessons from this text. The first lesson is that God forgives sins. The verse says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity." I like the Spanish version better. It says, "Thou shalt pardon." Now, how can that be if it's here, pardon my iniquity, and in Spanish the future? You can ask Dr. Barrett. He's the expert on these things. But it's the same thing. It's clear from these words that God is the one that forgives sins. He pardons sins. Now, He forgives sins, first of all, because He is the only one that can forgive sins. I don't know if you remember the story about those four men that brought their friend to Jesus. And they couldn't come to the house where Jesus was because of the multitude. And do you remember that they turned off the roof and lowered their friend? Do you remember what the Lord said to that man? The Lord said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's interesting. It's edifying to think about those things, those words. The first thing that Jesus Christ told the man was not, "Son, be healed." It was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." His first problem was the problem of sin. That is the problem of the humans. Sin is the first problem. His health was the second problem. Now, holiness is primary. Health is secondary. First, holiness. Without holiness, you cannot see God. Health is secondary. Now, do you remember that? Do you remember the scribes, what they were thinking when Christ said that? The Lord read their minds and said, "Why are you thinking this?" And they were thinking, "Who can forgive sins but only God?" And they were right. They were right. God is the only one that can forgive sins. They were wrong in the fact that they didn't recognize Christ as God. That was the problem. But God is the only one that can forgive sins. God forgives sins. He is the only one that can forgive sins. But also, God forgives sins because all sins are against Him. All sins are against Him. You remember Joseph, Potiphar's wife, tried to seduct him. And Joseph said, "How can I do this great evil, sinning against the Lord?" David, Psalm 51, screams with all his heart, "Against thee, only against thee have I sinned, and I've done this evil thing in thy sight." Remember the prodigal son? He thought, amidst the pigs, he thought, "I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against my father. I'm going and telling my father. He went and told his father, I have sinned against God, against heaven. I have sinned against you. We read from Acts chapter 5 the story, tragic story of Ananias and Sapphira. Peter told them, you have sinned against the Holy Ghost. And by the way, in the next verse, he told them, you have lied to God. A beautiful evidence that Holy Spirit is God. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. You have lied. You have sinned against God. Now, children, when you disobey your parents, first of all, you are disobeying God. Young people, when you are upset at your parents, at your sisters, when you hate them, when you have sinful habits, you are sinning first against God. Brethren, friends, when you lie, when you envy, when you lust, when you are not submissive to your husband, when you are not loving towards your wife, when you provoke your children to anger, you are sinning against God, a holy God, a God of terrible majesty. God forgives sins because sins are against Him. That is the first lesson. God forgives sins. Let's go to the second lesson. The second lesson is that God forgives great sins. Because Psalm 25 and verse 11 says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. It is great. We can properly translate, it is much. It's much iniquity and many sins. God forgives great or many sins. This means, obviously, that if you are a murderer, an adulterer, a thief, God can forgive you. This means, obviously, if you have denied our Lord, even 3 times, says Peter, the Lord can forgive you. Certainly, certainly. But more than this, and this is the heart of the message, please listen, wake up if you're not awake, and don't misunderstand me. Your sin is always a great sin. Any of our sins are great sins. You see, our sin is not against society only. Our sin is not only against the church. Our sin is against a great and holy, just God. It is a great sin because it is against a great God. It is a sin, a great sin. Listen to me. Because you have a great God, but also you have great light. You have your conscience. You have the Bible. You have good preaching. You have Christians all around you. It must be a great sin if you sin. Is it a sin against a great God? It's a sin against a great light. Ananias and Sapphira thought, maybe thought, it's a small sin. It's not much money. It's going to be, I don't know if they use the expression, just a white lie. No, just a small lie. No. It was a great sin. Peter told them, you have sinned against God. You have sinned against God. And God strove them both death. Now, don't think then, because you have not murdered, because you have not robbed a bank, because you have less than 50 demerits, that you are okay. You're not that bad. My friend, one sin, one small sin, one lustful look weighs so much that it will take you down to hell. One sin, one disobedience, one lie, one thing that you do against the law of God, and you will sink to hell. The Westminster Confession of Faith says, there is no sin so small, but it deserves damnation. True. But the lesson is sweet. God forgives great sins. Maybe you are saying, Paco, preacher, you don't know what I have done. You don't know what I have downloaded from the internet. You don't know how hypocrite I am. I don't know, and I don't want to know. But I know that God forgives great sins. John Newton. You probably know him because he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. He died on December 21st of 1807. He was 82 years old when he died. Before the Lord saved him, he was one of the worst of sinners. He was, by business, a slave trader. He traded with the souls of men, selling them. And you can read his testimony, how wicked man he was. But God saved him. And on that December 21st, as he was dying, a friend, William Jay, came to visit him. And he could barely speak. But his friend heard his last words. John Newton said, my memory is gone. I don't remember anything. There's two things I remember. I am a great sinner. And I have a great Savior. God forgives sinners. God forgives great sinners. Now the last lesson is the sweetest of all. God forgives great sins for his namesake. Please read with me Psalm 25, the 25th Psalm, and see with your own eyes this verse. For my faith's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. Is that what it says? No. For my repentance, pardon my iniquity. No. For my good works, no. Because I'm a Baptist, no. A Presbyterian, no. A faith-free Presbyterian, no. From my understanding, no. It says here, for thy name's sake. Now, is there preacher boys here tonight? Raise your hand, please. You. Look up in your concordance all the times that this phrase occurs, for your name's sake. You'll get a great message. It's a free outline for you. We don't have time to do that this afternoon. Look it up. Even if you're not a preacher boy, it will do good unto your soul. For thy name's sake. And I want you tonight, for you to see that the Bible highlights, expresses this lesson. I could read many verses, but I can make just a selection. Let's go to Psalm 79 first. Psalm 79 and verse 9. Psalm 79 and verse 9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 25. The Lord speaks. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Beautiful. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 7. Please see it with your own eyes. It will get to your heart better. Read the Bible. Jeremiah 14:7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou for thy name's sake, for backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Ezekiel 36. Now maybe someone is saying, well, this is all in the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament is part of the Bible. And in this Ezekiel chapter 36, it speaks of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Ezekiel 36 and verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. Verse 25 of this chapter. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." And it's all because of His name's sake. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. Almost to the end of the Bible. I hope you are writing down or underlining these verses. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." And as I said, to multiply this verses, it's obvious that the Bible highlights, underlines, emphasizes this truth. God forgives great sins for His name's sake. Nothing else. Now, what does it mean, namesake? Well, it means for the sake of His name, for the sake of who He is, for the sake of His character, the sake of His nature, His person, His substance, who He really is, that He is merciful, that He is kind. Micah 7. I love these verses. I come again and again to read these verses. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again." Underline those words in your memory, in your conscience. "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." It's for His name's sake. For who He is. How is He? What He has done. Now you tell me, but what name? Give me a name. I'll give you a name. His name is Wonderful Counselor. His name is Mighty God. His name is Everlasting Father. His name is the Prince of Peace. Well, give me a name. I will give you a name. His name is Jehovah, or Righteousness. His name is Jesus Christ. Read with me Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In other words, we can read Psalm 25, Psalm the 25th and verse 11. "For Christ's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Those are the three lessons of this verse. God forgives sins. God forgives great sins. God forgives great sins for His name's sake. Now, if these lessons are true, and they are, then, number one, when you are discouraged because of the sinfulness of your sin, think, concentrate, You are being forgiven by God 100% because of the grace of God. It's because of His name's sake. It's for Christ's sake. It's because He's merciful. Not because of who you are. It's because of Christ, what He has done for you. I'm going to be very careful in what I'm going to say. It's not the sincerity or the quantity of your repentance and faith that saves you. Christ is the one that saves you. It is 100% because of His love and His grace and His mercy that He forgives you. Nothing else. So when you are discouraged, and like Paul, you have this battle, what I still do, I don't do. What I don't do. Oh. Who shall deliver me from this? It's Christ. His grace. His love. He forgives you. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. He forgives you. If these lessons are true, and they are, number two, when you see a friend, when you see a relative, and you think, he is too sinful, he is too hard, it's impossible. Think and meditate on this verse and these verses that we have read. Pray for them and go and tell them about Christ. There's three things. See the Word. Pray and go. There's a lot of people that see the commandment, see the Word, and they don't pray, and they don't go. And there are some people that see the Word and pray, but they don't go. You have to do the three things. I'm a Calvinist. A Reformed Calvinist. You can see my beard. But I believe in going and telling the people about Christ. Go and tell them. I have been in a movie. Well, maybe I should rephrase that. I have been in a film. The film Beyond the Night. Maybe you can see it. You probably cannot find me. You can see me, I think, one of the pictures in the yearbook there. You can find me. But there's one scene, and Dr. Panosian is a native, and the missionary doctor is trying to witness to him. And the missionary, the doctor, tells him about Christ. The salvation that we can have in Christ alone. And Dr. Panosian, I wish I had his voice. But he said, if I believe that, I will spend the rest of my life telling others about it. Do you believe that God forgives great sinners for His name's sake? Do you really believe it? If I believe that, I will spend the rest of my life telling others about it. I was telling Dr. Kearns my testimony, how I came to America, why I came to America. And the reason I actually came to America, first to Phoenix, Arizona, but as George Salinas can tell you, in Phoenix, Arizona, 90% of the people speak Spanish, so I didn't learn English there. But I came to South Carolina, to the academy, then to Bob Jones University. But the first reason that I came to America was to learn English, because I wanted to be a medical doctor. But then the Lord used His word, and the thought came to my mind, what is more important? The body of the person, the health of the person, or their soul? In Mexico, there are doctors there already. There are not many preachers. Paco, you have to go and tell them about Christ. Go and tell them. Go and tell them about Christ. Tell them, invite them to come to the church. You don't have to be a professor or a great theologian. Just tell them, come and see. Come and see. Come and hear about Christ. That's all you have to tell them. But tell them. Tell them. Oh, if these lessons are true, that God forgives great sins for His name's sake. Number three, and with this we finish. When you hear the devil, when you hear your conscience saying, you are a sinner, you are not saved, your faith in Christ is not strong enough, you really did not repent enough, you tell the devil, yes, I am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. Yes, I am a sinner, but I have a great Savior who forgives all the sins. Sins all forgiven. I read this in a book given to me by the church, by the way. And it was so sweet to my soul, this phrase, sins all forgiven for His name's sake.